Aren't we all on one track?
We're all on the same one.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Oh, well. Just a way to bring us in. Oh. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Please Don't Listen to This, Your Life Depends on It, the show where we do something different every single week. Alex is going to have to turn around in a little bit.
And
to,
press B.
Yeah, and press
in,
B.
In 12 minutes,
in
30 12 seconds.
Minutes and 30 seconds, but I'm going to get my intro wrapped up before then. This is the show where we do something different every single week, and this week we are playing Pal World. And I have some of the most wonderful resource-building tasks with me here today. I have Punching a Tree, Alex.
Hello. I'm going to break your club.
I Alex have, is very experienced at punching trees.
I have Rock Puncher, Seb.
I'm also very experienced at punching rocks.
And I'm your host, Pal Puncher, Nick.
Very experienced at punching pals.
I am. This game caused a very unnecessary amount of discourse a couple months ago when it came out. Which a lot of people summarily forgot about.
People love to be annoying on the
The Korean studio that made this game made a... What, Korean, Japanese? I want to say Korean. I think I might be wrong. I might be confusing it with the other first-time development studio.
No, this one's a Japanese studio.
Japanese. The Japanese studio that made this game received a ton of press for being first-time developers, which I don't even know if that's actually true. But they appeared on the scene.
$17 billion from Tencent. The way that a lot of these first-time game developer deals work.
The servers are all being run out of one guy's house for this game.
Sorry,
that's all right.
So
and
the company is called Pocket Pair, and I don't think they're actually first-time developers, but they're still new developers.
Did they blackwater their whole company name? They just changed it so that it's like, it's our first game.
That's kind of like what the Dave the Diver people did, right? Yeah. They're like, oh, look at
that's
us.
Like a, that's like indie. A subsidiary of a megacorp.
Yeah,
it's so
exactly.
funny.
That's a giant one.
Like, that shit is going to happen more and more now.
They're the Granblue people, right? No, not the Granblue people. They have one.
They have like an insanely popular gacha game.
It's one of the giant titans of gacha game, like
it's
money
probably
making.
One that doesn't really exist in the U.S.
Yeah,
I
probably
guess.
Not. I
because there are like 40 of those in
the most
insane Asia.
People I see online are the people who are obsessed with the Umamusume ones, where it's like the real racehorses turned into anime girls.
That's some fucking freakish shit, buddy.
Because that's like...
They want to fuck the horse.
It
but
seems...
they want an excuse for that. Like...
I was going to go
Seb
in a different direction.
Seb plainly saying they want to fuck the horse. This is my highlight of the night so far.
Look, they probably do. I'm going to clip out that part. That's going to be the cold open. So, what I was going to say about Umamusume is that it seems to me to be skipping a step and combining two forms of gambling, of like gambling on horse races and gambling on gacha games.
That's smart.
Yeah. They're like, we want you to get it all mixed up in your brain. All the associations are here. All they need is like playing cards and they'll get
you
it. You want to
get
well.
your credit card out. Uh-huh. You want to get a hard on and you want to bet on these horses.
Yes, exactly.
I think they're also gambling on zoonotic diseases.
Ooh, wow. That's pretty impressive. You really get it all in there.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
What we wanted to talk about with Pal World is based on kind of the discourse that was coming out around it about whether or not it is a quote-unquote ripoff. And I think that it depends on what your definition of that is, which, I mean, I don't think that even if you ask them that they would say, oh, you know, we've never heard of the video game Ark Survival Evolved.
False.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they would say that. I think legally they might have
Bruce
to, but
Willis is
not
in
true.
That.
Yeah. But
no,
like,
Vin is in it. Vin Diesel's in it.
Yeah. But like...
I have Bruce in the brain.
You do. Because the McTiernan series on...
Blank Check just covered Die Hard. Good episode. I recommend it.
Even though Kevin Smith is on it?
Shockingly, Kevin Smith has good points.
Fat man on Batman himself?
I begrudge it every time I hear him make a good point, but I'm like, wow, this guy isn't a complete dipshit. I'm shocked.
I have to forgive people for writing bad Cape comics, because when it happens, I write them off in my brain forever. But it's really easy to write a bad Cape comic. I could do it. Anyone could do it. It could happen to anyone. If somebody handed you, Alex, The Flash, and they were like, write 6 issues of this, it would be totally dog
first
shit.
First, I would probably hire a sex criminal. I'm not making the movie. Never mind.
Yeah. You got it all backwards.
That would be my first step on any of those, though.
Yeah, exactly. If I was making an X-Men movie, I would hire a sex criminal to direct it. Yeah. If I was making a Flash movie, I would hire
phase of Marvel films.
I would hire a wife beater, probably. If I needed somebody to lead my billion-dollar movies franchise, I would make sure to get the person.
We do talk about Marvel every 15 minutes on this show.
With the most public crime. It's especially that I've... to reveal a little bit, to distract us from our topic once more, to reveal a little bit of my psychosis this week, I found out that there is an essay that somebody had been working on for a really long time that's published online in one of those websites that will never go down because it's hosted out of somebody's basement. Where somebody has written in exhaustive detail a defense, like a thesis-level defense of why Fantastic Four, from its original first issue until 1991... is the great American novel.
Whoa.
And I was reading it and I'm like, God damn, I don't agree with everything this guy says. He is insane, but I like this a lot. I like this argument, and it made me want to read
the
original
Gatsby.
Fantastic Four. There's a lot of stuff in there where he's like, okay, he's listing all the reasons, like, why can't this be? Because serialized, so were tons of novels. Pinocchio and fucking Moby Dick and all these other things were like published in installments. It's like, it's too lowbrow. Wrong. Shakespeare was extremely lowbrow. Wow. Like talking about all this shit. He had tons of examples of coming up with this shit. And I was really loving it. But that's part of why Marvel is on the brain for me. But speaking of Marvel, that actually leads me directly into one of the first ripoffs I want to talk about.
All right.
Because... the big two of Marvel and DC have been stealing from each other for as long as they were coming up with new ideas. So they stopped about 20 years ago. one of the big examples that you see these days, Thanos was big in like 2016, right? And he's still big now. He's still what the kids know as like a big bad guy.
He comes big out purple. At the end of Avengers.
Yes. So he's...
And he's not Josh Brolin yet.
He's not Josh Brolin yet at that time. But... when he was originally created, he was a straight ripoff of Darkseid. And originally...
Is that with a Y?
No.
Like Darkseid Phil?
The word dark, S-E-I-D, who is a character created for the DC Universe by visionary comics writer Jack Kirby, writer and artist, and who has been used in tons of movies and TV shows and cartoons and shit.
I've never heard of this guy, really.
He's way cooler than Thanos, in my personal opinion.
Does he get, like...
He's stony-faced.
All the gems on his left hand?
That's a Marvel original. Oh, he's not... Collecting gems is not his thing.
He
wants the anti-life equation, which will eliminate free will from the universe if he can figure it out.
So he, like, Goodwill Hunting's it? Like, it's on the board?
No, it's, like, something that he can find somewhere in the universe is the idea. It already
like someone's written it on a chalkboard in Harvard.
I think so.
Okay.
But anyway, when Jim Starlin, the creator of Thanos, was like, I want to do this story about a guy who is a villain for the Silver Surfer, but I'm going to have him, you know, eventually be this villain for the entire Marvel Universe and he'll collect these gems and stuff. He turns in the design to his editor. I want to say Jim Shooter at the time. And,
Starman and Shooter? What are these fucking last names? Of course they write for comics.
Starlin. Oh, but yes, you are correct. Wait until you hear some of the fucking other names.
We got Kirby, we got Shooter.
Yep. They all sound like this. I can't give you a single one that does not. Steve Englehart, the Doctor Strange guy. Anyway,
a little on the nose.
So Jim Starlin turns in his design for what he wants this character to look like, this Silver Surfer villain who's eventually going to threaten everyone. And who has a fascination and love for the physical embodiment of death. He turns it in, and his editor's like, what the fuck is this? This guy looks boring and non-threatening. And also, it looks like he just ripped off Metron, who is another character that Kirby created for DC's New Gods, who is a guy in a chair with a big brain and like a special robotic like apparatus attached to him.
Like Professor X or no?
No. Okay. Like a, but I mean, I guess like a flying chair.
Okay.
And
X's chair never flies.
So Jim Starlin's like, okay, so what do you want me to do? And his editor's like, if you're going to rip off one of the New Gods, at least rip off the one everyone likes. Rip off Darkseid. And so he does. He draws a guy who is more like Darkseid, a big purple guy with broad shoulders. And
he's dresses also him as purple? That's so
fucked up. He's got that purple in his color scheme, but it's the purple is in Darkseid's clothes, whereas the purple is on Thanos' like actual skin.
That's a good change. Yeah. Change my homework a little bit when you copy it.
Oh, yeah. They are different enough. Like, they're different enough where you could say, like, oh, I don't know. They're legally distinct from each other. But you can definitely tell someone changed the homework. They copied and they changed the homework.
Yeah, I think the rule of thumb is 30%. And so that means
Thanos is different enough.
Yeah. But 70%, that's a lot the same.
But Ori and the Blind Forest 1 is a pretty unique video game.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There was not a lot like it at the time.
It's beautiful.
It's Ori and the Blind Forest 2 is basically just Hollow Knight.
That's funny. Yeah.
It is a lot. Like, there's a hub to it.
Yeah, they added NPCs and a hub, and you fight with a melee attack.
Oh, that's what I was just about to ask.
It's still great.
Does the melee attack bounce you off of stuff?
It is still good, but it is, like, it is so much, like, the light bent through the lens of Hollow Knight, right? Oh, yeah, it was such a centralizing piece of that genre, I think.
Yeah, I don't think you can make a Metroidvania anymore without bending that through Hollow Knight.
I disagree. I think you totally can.
No, I don't mean you don't find it.
It's not as popular to make those anymore.
Maybe.
Anyway, but
there was a time when that was like the vogue genre.
There was like
for your
5 to 7 years where that was the genre you made your indie game in.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird because those are a shitload of work. Like, that's not an easy. You can't just make one of those. It's not something you can just spit out.
It's not as easy as making a platformer or whatever.
All right.
I present the greatest ripoff, straight clone of all time of Bust a Move. And it is called Snood.
We love Snood.
For the Mac.
Holy and they U2 style put it on every iMac. So I knew Snood way before I knew Bust a Move.
Yeah,
are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's fair. I was going to say, like, this is...
When I first played Bust a Move, I was like, it's like Snood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though Snood moves at like 1/100th the speed of Bust a Move.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They have like weird little faces that are actually kind of creepy.
The
on
triangle
them.
Guy, yeah. The round guy.
Mm.
Some good faces.
Yeah.
I like Snood.
Yeah, I
like reskin. Like, you can take any puzzle game and reskin it, and then some people.
I mean,
like
look at every Bejeweled
really
Yoshi's Cookie.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
Fucking Yoshi's Cookie.
Yoshi's Cookie. Dr. Robotnik's
Mean Machine is Puyo Puyo, but Sega made Puyo Puyo, so it's not weird for them to do it.
Yeah, it's not really a ripoff, but it is a clone.
Mm-hmm. There were a bunch of fucking mascot platformers that were clearly trying to ape Sonic's shit, but nobody ever truly ripped him off.
Yeah, it's...
Nobody ever just did Sonic again.
No, Jazz Jackrabbit's older.
And also, he's different.
Pull,
like, he's got, like, a gun and shit.
Bubsy.
Bubsy? Definitely. Bubsy is Sonic, but on Nintendo, and does a shit job at that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Arrow the Acrobat.
Yep.
James Pond, fucking Rocky Roden, which is actually
Gex. So we got Gex in there.
Yeah.
That's too far ahead because he's got a different thing going on.
Yeah, his thing is just quips.
Let's see if I'm not confusing it with a different.
Give
one.
Me a tight five to break down the hero shooter fast follows.
Yes, please. I want to see
trend.
It.
Around when Overwatch came out, there was like at least 5 games that tried to do Team Fortress 2 Overwatch style hero class multiplayer shooter games.
Apex.
Another thing that is not easy to make.
Apex is definitely a fast follow, but I'm thinking the ones that absolutely blew up.
Paladins.
Battleborn.
Oof.
Oh, yeah.
Lawbreakers. Cliff Bleszinski's last game. No, I think he tried to rip off PUBG before his studio closed. But
now Valorant
Fortnite
is not like that.
Correct? Before
Fortnite was a PUBG ripoff, yes.
Yeah.
Valorant is different, correct? Valorant is not.
Valorant is a CS:GO ripoff.
Oh, okay.
But this that whole multiplayer shooter space is all just, hey, we can make our game just like this one that's popular.
So weird, yeah. Because like Blizzard was working on Overwatch for years and years, right? But it was not timely. Team Fortress 2 stopped receiving updates in 2012 or some shit.
I want to say probably seven or eight years after TF2. Mm. And like at least 4 years after it was really at its peak of popularity, I think.
Before this, not before TF2, but before the... Because
Overwatch came out in 2017.
Shooter, yeah, the hero shooter thing.
So 10 years.
We had...
After TF2 came out.
Yeah, we had the... what is it? What do they call them? Arena battlers?
Hero shooters that genre.
Oh, you're talking about MOBAs, right?
MOBAs, yes.
Those multiplayer online battle arena?
Yes. Which were completely like the Ouroboros.
Yep.
Like... So it started out with
a mod of Warcraft 3.
Yeah, a mod of Warcraft 3 called Dota, which was around for a long time.
I love to defend those ancients. That's my favorite thing to do.
And then Valve, who were like, they just kept eating up mods of stuff and like making games out of them. So they were working on Dota 2 for a long time, but then like League came out first.
League of Legends, yeah.
League came out first, and then everyone did it. And Blizzard was like, this is our shit, so we're going to make one too. And they made Heroes of the Storm, but that didn't do very well. Spite, Smite. HOTS. There's
at least three or four more that we're forgetting. Yeah. Because I've never played any of those games. They seem baffling to play. But it is the like popular multiplayer online game space is just... What's the most popular thing to make right now? We're going to do that with our game.
Yeah. And for a while it was the topic of this show is a survival sort of game.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And for a while it was that. And they still, like, they survive. They keep cropping up.
Yeah. It was,
and I think I know why, but...
It definitely was, like, I think it was Minecraft that really crystallized a lot of it. But Rust was, like, the other kind of... DayZ into... like the mill sim stuff into like Arma into
so weird that like pipeline Arc is so strange into, to me.
Yeah, it's bizarre. But and now like, people Arma's play really like weird. People play games like Tarkov, which are adjacent to survival games but are a completely different space now that we call the extraction shooter,
which is like get in and get out.
Yes, but it all kind of it seems like it all kind of came from this. Mm-hmm. Like you're in a world, you're in a map, and it's very punishing kind of play space. And it either branched out into these like single player survival game or the like multiplayer. If you peek out of a bush, someone will shoot you with a sniper rifle. PUBG style game.
So realistic.
Now, how do you guys personally define what is a ripoff versus an inspired by versus spiritual successor versus
I think
whatever?
That in most all cases, the ripoff will sink to the bottom.
Yeah, I think it's the ones that you forget about. But also, I think a lot of it is the turnaround time for me. I think how timely you are on when the trend is at peak popularity, I think, is the like real measure of a ripoff. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that... I would not consider the topic of this week's game a ripoff, or the topic of this week's episode, because it is not that timely to either of the trends it's aping, I think.
it clearly spent a long time in development. Yeah. Like,
and it's still an alpha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it took them a long time to make, and it's still not done.
I think Fortnite coming out the year PUBG hit big is ripoff territory. And
well,
I thought
Fortnite was something else before they made
They pivoted that game into the Battle Royale
Battle Royale.
It was a survival crafting game.
Yeah.
Which was big at the time they were developing that.
Yes. But like that is the biggest one crystallized in my mind is like, oh, okay. PUBG hit like 10 million players in 2018. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Whatever year that was. And then... before that year was out, I think Fortnite Battle Royale came out.
Yeah, it is funny. All these trends we've mentioned, like Dota was a mod,
mm-hmm.
Minecraft was made by like one guy in his basement,
yeah, one shithead.
Hatsune Miku made it. Notch, and the what we're talking about now,
which one?
Arma,
Player Unknown's Battlegrounds.
Yeah, that. Yeah, that one was one.
We're not
guy.
Talking about Arma anymore. I don't know why I want to.
We
bring
could
it up
talk
so
about
much.
Arma.
I'm all good actually.
Yeah, like it's like everything comes up, like one guy does it, and then everybody else wants to do it.
Yeah,
yes.
The big companies
but
come in.
But so often, like I mean, Fortnite is a rare bad case where the competitor, the ripoff-er, is so much larger and huger than the ripoff. Either there is simply no way the original can compete.
Yeah. Yeah.
But often money is not enough to overtake originality. Yeah. And people see that. Like
in Fortnite's case, I feel like from what I know, I never actually played PUBG, but it like
I played a little bit of it.
Unstable.
Yes.
Because it's one guy hosting like 100 people on a server
the
at jank, a time.
Incredibly then, janky.
The jank was the thing that a lot of people liked about it,
yeah,
I think.
But,
yes. but
that
it was not
the masses.
Yes, it was not the thing that sold that game.
It was also difficult, or more difficult anyway, for children to play than Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it wasn't on your phone yet.
Well, yeah, it wasn't on your phone at the time. It wasn't on consoles at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, controller hookups were a little bit of a pain in the ass because it was a game that was not ready for prime time, let's say.
Yeah.
And so when you've got a big team and a fast turnaround time, you can really just eat them for breakfast.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But some of the discourse stuff around whether or not something's a ripoff does strike me as a little silly. Because if you want to be really pedantic about it, Pokemon itself is definitely ripping off some stuff that happened earlier. Like, I'm going to be that guy and say that Dragon
now that he's
Quest,
played Dragon Quest, he can do it.
Dragon
he's
Quest
allowed.
V is the first JRPG that I can think of that I can find with monster collecting and battling. And it is cool because it takes place in an RPG where you are also a character and you also have a party. But at any time, you can recruit the monsters you find out in the world and just make them a part of your party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you need a healer or you like their design or whatever. And
isn't that what SMT does too?
That comes out after.
Yeah.
So SMT adds another element to it, which is the negotiation, mm-hmm. where you have to convince the demons to come with you.
2,000 yen and then they leave with it.
Incredibly funny. And so funny. I love that they stick to their guns on that. That never have they made negotiation like easier. It's always like random which thing the demon will want. It'll say like, do you think I'm pretty? And the answers will be like yes, no, and fuck you. And sometimes the correct answer is fuck you, but it's not based on what kind of demon it is. They flip the coin.
Yeah, it's not like it's not like Undertale where there's a right answer to the enemy. It's it's interesting.
You can change your answer based on what you think the demon will want, but you'll be wrong because it's random. So just go in and do whatever. Sometimes you give them all your money and they join. Sometimes you give them all their money and they say later, sucker, and they peace out. And then only then, later on, does Pokemon do their own thing of saying, hey, and this is, of course, based off of Satoshi Tajiri, right? Being
insects
like
insects crawling along the cable. Check out episode like 10 of our show when we talk about Pokemon.
Yeah. I love collecting bugs, and I have all this experience collecting bugs. And then some executive at Enix goes, what the fuck? He just made hundreds of millions of dollars doing a monster collecting thing. We did monster collecting, right? Get yourself on the Game Boy right now doing a monster collecting game. And Dragon Quest Monsters comes out. And that
There's also an SMT one that is explicitly monster collecting.
That one's especially weird because of the super like Bible like reskin it got for of the Americas, like Demon Kids or something like that.
Oh,
it's got
hell yeah.
It's for the Game Boy Color.
That rules.
So both those franchises, Dragon Quest and SMT, despite doing monster collecting and battling before Pokemon, they don't do it in the same way as Pokemon. And then when Pokemon comes out, they're like, well, shit, we have to do it in the exact same way as Pokemon. Can we get on that? Is there any way we can get on that? How fast can you make one of those using our brands of recognizable monsters? You know, Jack Frost and the slime from Dragon Quest. Can we get them on a fucking Game Boy cartridge? How long does it take you to get them on a fucking Game Boy cartridge? And they just did it immediately. I love, like, seeing that kind of turnaround.
Yeah, I think it's the turnaround for me, I think, that is the most blatant, like, we need to capitalize on this trend right now, everything together.
You can definitely feel when a game is, like, just a cash grab for the trend,
mm-hmm.
or if it's legitimately inspired by something.
Yes.
Like,
often they will
when it's legitimately inspired by something, I feel like one of the touches I see the most often is somebody who believes that they can fix something about something they love. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh yeah, I sure do love this thing, but I wish this was different, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what we're seeing, God, no, that's a bad example. Cause that I think I was about to bring up Unicorn Overlord, which is about to come out, but I think that literally some of the people who used to make Ogre Battle are working on that. So that's not that's not like a good example because they're just doing stuff that they already did.
A game that I have not played, but a loving homage to a style of game is Tunic, which I think would be a good example here. Where it's like, this is the things that I liked about Zelda 1, but I'm taking a specific spin on it to evoke the feeling of playing a game like Zelda 1.
Yeah, without making you pull your hair out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that in some ways it is definitely like, you know, down to the outfit the main character wears.
Yeah.
But because of its effort in trying to recreate a feeling rather than a specific look or a gameplay style, it's like, no, I want to generate the vibe of being 8 years old and playing Zelda 1. And not being able to read the manual.
Yeah.
Specifically, that zone has to be it. And because of that, it doesn't feel like playing Zelda 1 now. It feels like playing a weird alternate reality version of a Zelda 1.
There's many layers of interpretation there that put it apart from if someone just made an 8-bit game like Zelda 1 today. Yeah.
What do you guys know about Robopon?
Wow.
Not much.
Robopon was... oh God, I gotta find the right ones. When the Robopon boxes in Japan look exactly like the fucking Pokemon ones. And I've heard it's one of those things where you hear, oh, I heard it's good. And I will never be able to verify that. But they tried to do the dual version thing.
Yeah.
Not many things did that with success. The Mega Man Battle Network games did that, which was bizarre to me.
Well, it was like...
you had like a slightly different story path.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing to nail down because it is essentially playing the same game, like two very slightly different versions of the same game. But the reason that it worked for Pokemon and made them so much money was because they they're exclusive guys and you're meant to trade. You're meant to pick the one that you're most interested in. And then experience that alongside someone who has the other one.
Exactly. Fucking Mega Man Battle Network tried to do that, but the thing I think was a critical error there is most of the people playing that were playing for a single player version, even though it did.
Right. Yeah. If I'm just going to play a single player game and I don't give a shit about the connectivity, why would I care that there's another version of it that's barely any different?
Yeah. Mega Man.
I think from a distance, this looks a lot like Pokemon Red.
Oh, all right. I can see. This is the sun version. There's a red guy. Yeah.
This is I think it's just the way these colors are set up that makes me think that way.
Looks like a robot.
In Japan, it's different. In Japan, it looks like this.
Oh, all right.
Collectible, tradable robots, Robopon, having the dual version thing where you trade to each other.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone wanted in on that, and who can blame them?
So I think one thing I wanted to circle before we're done talking about ripoff stuff, and this is a little bit more, this is like one more step removed, but if you are saying your game is a blank like, I think that is a real sign of, like, we want you to like this because you like Dark Souls. Like, we're trying to make it just like that thing you like. And I feel like a lot of those are, will take, like, one or two parts of that experience because they aren't good enough at making games to capture the whole of what you might like.
Right, definitely.
But I always, I kind of gristle at like blank likes whenever, like people don't make Doom clones anymore, but that was a whole thing when Doom was huge. But
I actually think people are kind of back around to making Doom clones now.
Now they're good. Now we call them boomer shooters and they're good.
Yeah.
But, like anytime it's like, oh, this is a, like Souls-like is the big one in conversation right now.
I just played Lies of P like a month ago.
Yeah. Roguelike is a little more broad, but it's.
That's why, the late Total Biscuit used to have a conniption anytime somebody said roguelike, and that's also why I kind of like bring up like, oh, it's roguelike all the time, because he was like, these things that call themselves roguelikes aren't really that like
they had
rogue.
A whole Geneva convention about it was stupid.
So he would call them roguelite instead because they only have a few elements of it.
But yeah, I think it's like It stinks of insecurity a little bit if you have to ride the coattails of another genre. Like, if you're really leaning into we're like Dark Souls, it's like, I don't know, man. At least, like, you know, it's got to be really good for me to give a shit. Because I got Dark Souls.
Yeah, you got
and
three
that,
of them.
That kind of, yeah, that kind of pulls in some thoughts of our main topic, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think we're going to be talking about after this brief break, unless we have any more rip-offs we want to mention.
Nope.
All right. We're going to be back this segment in just off. A bit with our own legally distinct second segment.
Enterprising kid transports into a monster video game?
Monster Battle! Time to play!
The baddies better watch out! Leap into the action with more Monster Rancher! Tomorrow morning at 8:30 and 10 o'clock on Fox Kids!
To please don't listen to this, your life depends on it, the show where we do something different every single week. Seb, this week you had us play Pal World. You want to give us the explanation behind that?
Well, hey,
explain
pals.
Explain yourself.
I will explain myself. I wasn't really going to play this game because so my words were,
I knew it.
My words were, I don't think I could play it because I wouldn't want to hurt the cute animals. Because I watched Dunkey's video and it looked kind of pretty funny, actually, because a lot of the stuff going on was clearly, like, satire on Pokemon. Like, you can use, like, the Lamball, which is your Flaffy, or your Mareep. You can use that as a shield. You pick it up and you just use it as a shield.
It's more
just,
like Wooloo, actually.
Yeah, right. It's Wololo.
And they did just make a round sheep Pokemon last generation.
Yeah.
Took them long enough, god damn it.
Yeah,
I mean, what the hell?
But you can get guns. You can give your pals guns. It's kind of silly. So I knew it was kind of satire.
Yeah.
Partly.
It's Ark, but with more marketable creatures, I think, is the idea.
So I wasn't going to play it. But then Bink was like, friend of the show, Bink was like, hey, our friend Clara has a server.
Wow.
You should
already
play with
on
us.
The server. Wow, yeah. That's okay.
Yeah, so our friend Clara, love Clara, she's great. But she opened us, or she has a friend with a server, so she was like, you guys should play. So I gave in and I played. And I had quite a bit of fun. It's not the most polished game, and it's not the best survival game I played. I got so into Valheim when that was a thing.
I was gonna say, I was waiting for Valheim to come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got into Valheim.
That was a big sub game.
Yeah, big.
I feel like I'm on a different planet from you guys sometimes. Not that I think all this stuff looks bad necessarily, but I don't see the appeal, I guess,
in that game. You walk next to a campfire and it says warm. The text pop up that says warm. All that's right. Why
that
it's
does
good.
Sound pretty good.
Yeah. That's why it's good.
You're selling me on it.
Yeah. So that game I really liked. I don't know. I will occasionally find just a survival game, and it's not very often. Yeah. Like Minecraft, sometimes I'll get into a kick and I'm like, oh yeah, why don't you do some Minecraft? Mm-hmm. And I'll do that for a week. But Valheim, I was into that for like a couple months.
Yeah.
Like hardcore. I didn't want to do anything else.
The good one of these that I recommend is Subnautica, because it has a beginning and an end. It
that
is not
is
just
too
a
scary.
It is not just a survive in this forever or do whatever you want kind
it
of
is
game.
Too scary.
It has a focused goal. I think that is good. But that's the only one of these that I've played since Minecraft, I think.
Yeah.
And I played some of Valheim. But
So I got into that, and then I haven't been back for the new stuff for Mistlands or anything, and I keep telling myself I should go back, But
Valheim? Have they added?
Back to Valheim.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. So just as I was about to convince myself to do that, Bink was like, play a different survival game. And you know what? I like it because it's like a newer twist on the survival game. Like, you haven't really seen things where you like it's survival and it's collecting Pokemon and battling with Pokemon. And they do the work for you most of the time. And there's
some automation stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I think I like survival games as a veg out game, just because there's like a clear, like, you go on, you do your little tasks, and no matter what you do, you make some progress, and
it's very progression pilled. You can get that like loop going where it's like, oh man, I'm doing so much.
Yeah,
but it is kind of fake. It's like it's a trick, but
yeah, you're doing
so
much, but you're also vegging out at the same time because you don't have to use that much of your brain.
Yeah, you get to hold F so much, and you're so into it.
Yeah. But yeah, so I tried to drag these two into it. I wanted to do a bit more playing together, but
the way this game does multiplayer is not conducive.
I didn't have time to play with you guys when you got on.
I didn't bother to set up my own server, which is very easy. There is a utility they literally give you, and I did not feel like doing that. So I just opened my world to Nick,
and then I had to leave
after half an hour because I'd already been playing for 3 hours.
I vanished into the ether. All my progress was completely gone.
Something Valheim does that's better is that you can take a character and carry it over to whichever world or server you go to.
Mm-hmm.
This one, your server or your character is locked to the server of the world.
That sucks.
It seems weird in a game with so much progression.
Yeah, yeah. It's alpha. Because
it's
so
like
they
not
might
fun when you're level zero and you
well,
have
like,
no pals.
If you join a Minecraft server, you don't have like you haven't like leveled your character up. Like, there's not like progression like that. So it's like it's okay to start with nothing in a game like that because it's such a fast loop.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird.
For this one, I'll be a little lenient and say maybe they're gonna add the functionality in the future because it is an alpha. But that is like definitely a downside. Not that Nick was playing for very long.
In your server, no, definitely not.
Yeah. But yeah, what did you guys think of it?
Wow.
All right, I'll dig into it a little bit. So we are not experts on this. I have very intentionally
speak
not
yourself,
looked into
pal.
The fucking discourse on the development stuff behind this game, and people saying like, "Oh, they're exactly like Pokemon." They're not.
There was so much outrage about this.
I have
like,
actively not given a shit about anyone talking about this game.
Right, and that's the correct way to do it.
Until Seb said the word "Pal World," I had been mentally checked out of every time anyone else has ever said the word.
Alex had no opinion until I said we're doing Pal World, and then he groaned.
Yeah. We'll get into that though.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dink.
Man, all right. So, my first instinct was, I'm like, okay, if this is gonna be one of those like, if this is a game where the motivation is self-expression, right? Because I know you can build a house and you can build your fucking farm and factory and human resource grinder
and all
that stuff.
Crush the pals up into little bits.
And sell the jam at the local grocery store and all that. But
I just got to the point where I can unlock a butcher knife and just summon a pal and butcher the pal to eat. And I will not be doing that. But you can
seems
do
like
that.
A waste.
It's free real estate.
Well, if you have enough pals at your base,
it only costs a ball.
The amount of pals that you catch, you can either sell them or you can eat them. You have to do something with the leftovers.
Food is lying around all over the place.
Oh, but not as good food. I mean,
yeah, not as good food.
All right. So, I have no interest in like the survival crafting experience. Like punching a tree to get enough wood to make an axe to hit a tree to build a boat with the wood.
You'll be better
I got.
At hitting the tree once you make an axe, though.
And then
when I have the axe,
I'm better at hitting the tree I can get enough wood
so
that I can make a boat
axe,
so that I can row to another island to hit a tree over
there.
There
are more
to get
trees
more
on
wood.
That island.
Yeah, exactly. To get more wood so I can build my house on that island so that I can sleep and eat so I can get more trees.
The
next
that the
day.
Trees dropped, you wouldn't have to go to the island.
I mean, if you just wanted to make your house out of wood.
Of course.
That's stupid. Why would you ever want to do that? You need stone and bricks.
Which is why I need to hit that tree so I can make a pickaxe instead. You should
really get some clay, too. Need some glass to make some accents.
So that I can make a blast furnace.
Yeah. Then you can shear some sheep so you can make a bed and, you know, decorate with, you know, canvas.
Needless to say, I'm not particularly interested in this genre. Something that I can be interested in is logistics and optimization, which this game has a little bit of. And I am no stranger to like an RPG progression system. We talked a lot about that sort of thing a couple weeks ago when we did playing old games. And I do like that. But I was a little naive. You know, I was hoping that I could... I'm like, okay, this game lets you attack the pals yourself, right? So
I don't need Pokemon.
So I can do it. Wouldn't it be cool if I could go to a place I was over underleveled for and attack them and, like, you know, catch them later? But, like,
Quick, did you figure out how to make a fucked up guy? Because you can just put, like, the sliders for the arms and legs all the way up and it looks really nice.
I did thin limbs and a huge torso.
Okay.
But I was still pretty disappointed with the options on offer. I made an orange guy with a blue beard, and I gave him spindly limbs.
Is blue the hair color default for everybody? Because shocked at that. My person came in blue. I'm like, hell yeah.
The Miku haircut is one of the defaults, though. Yeah, the twin tails.
I basically made Miku because they gave me Miku at the beginning of the game, pretty much. And I was like, oh, that's all I have to do? Okay.
Yeah, I made on Clara's server, I made a drow, and I named him Drizzt. Because I was like, all right, if we're ripping off Pokemon and Minecraft and also skinning it with Breath of the Wild, I'm going to add in one more there, and it has to be Dungeons & Dragons.
They're certainly not the first to do it, but when you get to a new location and it does the piano sting, I am like, wow, that's the only thing in the game that I was like, you are not trying.
Yeah, you wake up, and it immediately gives you the fucking Purapad or whatever it is, the Sheikah Slate.
You get the Wii U controller.
And it's like, the towers are the key. And I'm like, that's a joke. They're not doing that, like, seriously? That's a joke.
Yeah, all right. So I was like, I found my experience with this game to be like slowly chipping away at irritation. Like, I was like really annoyed with what the game was asking me to do at first. And then over time, I would get slightly less annoyed while as I unlocked things to like optimize away the stupid stuff, right?
You have to work to make the game fun.
I had to punch trees for 2.5 hours before I could, like, have enough pals to, like, get resources without punching trees. And, of course, I was not literally punching trees. I was, in fact, swinging an axe.
I was going to say, I did make
an axe. You know,
it's only a couple swings to
kill. The tech tree I got. Nice. This game's tutorial goes a long way towards getting you set up for the world, because it does not just say, here's how you build stuff, here's how you catch pals, here's how you battle pals. It's like, okay, what you really should do is upgrade your base, and you should build a base, and here are the things you should put at your base. You need enough beds, you need jobs for your pals to do, and certain pals can only do certain jobs. So even though you know they can plant seeds in the berry plantation, they won't do it because if they don't have the right kinds of hands for it.
You didn't make them a bed, so they're not happy.
Oh no, I did make them. The bed was the first thing I made. I made the workstation afterwards, and you need to manually put stuff in the feed box. Even if you have the food, I thought
gathering ones will put stuff in there automatically.
Right. I was not. You can, like, find pals that have, like, the stone mining or wood chopping trait, and they'll just start doing it for you. I didn't find any of those anywhere, and I don't know what's going on with that. If that's like, why, like, those two things are really early on the tech tree.
Yeah.
To get, like, a place to make your own wood and a place to make your own stone, but you
just have to kind of catch as many different types of stuff as you can.
I caught like 20 of them.
You gotta catch 50. It's sorry. Not like it's unique ones.
Oh, okay. I gotta
not,
catch
not the same kind. It's a species will have the skills, not
yeah
the
that's
single.
What I mean. Okay. I was catching a bunch of unique ones.
Okay.
And none of them had, like, I found one that could water water crops. I found one that could
harvest crops, but I couldn't find, and I found one that could help me cook stuff because it's the fire fox one.
Yeah,
the Gumos, which is the little blob man with the pot on his head.
Yeah, he can plant seeds.
He can plant.
So I got three of them that can gather. Yes. So that's four parts of the berries, which I have a million berries now.
Yeah.
But I would really like to stop punching trees. I'm so sick of it. And I have to do it. I have to do it every single thing. Pokeballs, punch trees. Arrows to shoot pals, punch trees. You need to build a house, you punch trees.
That's right.
And I'm like, I would sure love to stop punching trees and play this video game.
Yeah, so,
but everything, every single fucking thing in this game, I have to punch more trees.
There's the one that I found that actually does lumbering is the big purple deer thing.
Oh, and I tried to kill one of those. It didn't work.
Yeah, it takes a little while to get up to a point where you can actually catch them.
I got like half of his health bar.
I played this game for 3.5 hours, yeah. Seb. And right up until like the 10 minutes before I was leaving here, I was still punching trees to get wood to make arrows.
That's the game.
It was exhausting. Like, there's nothing that was not a drain on resources. Like going out, and you know, that can be an interesting part of like a survival game or a logistics style, like, you know, making your thing more efficient kind of game. I'm not a Factorio guy. I know people are super into that sort of thing. Where it's like, if you making your base more efficient, having the best stuff and having the best setup can make it easier. I know Subnautica has some stuff like that too.
Not as much.
But like, I just felt like I was never advancing past the part where I have to do literally every piece
myself.
You're
still in the Stone Age, or I guess the tree age.
Right, but I was like, the tree punching age. And
wood age.
Every time I was like trying to like do something else, I was like, let me go experience a different part of this game. I go to fight the boss fight. I'm level 10 or whatever, right? And okay, I see the big grass mammoth. That thing's level 34. I understand that my attacks are doing, you know, one damage to it.
Yep.
But there's not even like a chance for me to succeed because I don't have enough arrows to kill it. I can't carry enough arrows to kill it because it has 3,500 health.
Mm.
And then I'm like, okay, well, whatever. At the end of the tutorial, it asks you to go challenge a tower, and it's Grizzbolt. And I actually liked this a lot. I liked that intro. I thought that was a cool looking fight. The game controls pretty badly. It's not satisfying to run around or dodge or anything like that.
But I didn't even know there was a dodge until you figured it out.
What? Isn't it just space bar?
No, it's control.
It's B on a pad and it's control on a keyboard.
It was one of the keys that I just naturally pressed, so I couldn't even tell you which one
about
it was.
I was like, I don't need to dodge. I just run around.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was like fighting Grizzbolt and I'm like, I can use my pals and I can keep at a distance and I can take this thing down. My weapons broke. My pals run directly into danger, and my only option left was to literally punch it with my bare hands. I'm out of arrows. My weapons are broken. So when I'm punching it, it's only doing one damage some of the time. And I just feel like completely defeated. Like,
the tutorial
said
you have to be prepared.
I have to go back to punching trees. There's nothing I can do.
Unfortunately,
I didn't punch enough trees. So how many hours of punching trees do I have to do before I can have fun with this game? It was driving me crazy.
Level up by catching more of the same things. Like,
which I need to punch trees to make the Pokeballs. There's no way to not do that.
Okay, just do a lot of it at once, and then go out.
The answer, Nick, is you just have to grind.
Yeah. For somebody who plays JRPGs, I'm surprised you don't like grinding.
I don't mind grinding in that. This felt awful because
I'm just making
even fun. Yeah. Like, even when I was
Nick
like,
likes his tedium slightly differently than we like our tedium.
I deserve all of this, but in this game, right? Let's say I wanted to be like, okay, I know I'm going to need a lot of wood to make arrows, to make Pokeballs, to make, you know, materials and to repair my fucking tools after they break. So I'm like, I am going to raise this entire forest. Let's say I wanted to do that. I'm going to raise this entire forest so I have enough wood to do all this stuff. You hit your carry limit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't move.
Well, then you got to go back to base and drop off all your wood.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just...
I'm playing into this because it's funny, Nick. Yeah, but I agree with a lot of your points. I just think it is funny to be like, oh no, that's how you do
I'm
it.
I'm not really trying to white knight this game. I'm just like, wow, you really don't like survival games.
No, yeah.
At all. Not,
there's no way all of them are like this, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh my God.
Except Minecraft doesn't have a carry limit. Wow. That's the only one.
Minecraft doesn't have a carry limit, right? But Minecraft
also has...
Well,
I mean, you have
an
inventory limit, but it's a lot more generous.
You don't get encumbered, which is the most annoying thing in the world. Like, I hate games
and Minecraft
where you fucking
doesn't have a fucking leveling system.
It does.
Well, you get experience. You can enchant stuff with experience that you gain.
But that's different.
It's not,
Yeah, it's a little
You are not giving yourself more HP by doing tasks in the game or whatever.
That was the thing that was truly driving me crazy because... Were, in Minecraft, were I to explore, as long as I was kitted out with some nice stuff, which I could make as soon as I got the materials, basically.
Yeah, in about two trees, you could have enough to do a decent day's exploring.
Yes, that's cool. To explore in this game is everything, like, I could, you know, walk to somewhere if I had enough food and I would be, like, fine, but I can't catch anything there. So, gameplay-wise, it's not... Like, it's not offering me much except the opportunity to build another base and punch different kinds of trees.
Maybe I have optimized better than you.
What is this about?
I don't know. Like, I feel like I didn't run as low on resources as you did.
Well, I think Nick was more eager to go out and do.
I wanted to do stuff.
Your approach might be, I need to get a good base of resources before I can adventure out.
It's not like I didn't build a base, you know?
Right,
it's not like I didn't build a base. It's not like
I
didn't catch any pals.
It's the difference in heuristic, I think. Yeah. Nick is doing the chores so that he can go out and play.
Yeah.
And I think there's a more even balance of enjoying the chores versus doing the play in your experience. If I'm reading this right.
I am not trying to say that this is a shit game. I am merely trying to express my frustration with this experience.
This is great.
Because, and you know, like, there's other stuff that, the game's not done, so I can't be too harsh on it.
No,
we can.
It's pretty far along. It's got its basic system.
I put a foundation for a house down on a slightly slanted ground. I was like, I was surprised they were going to let me do that. I'm like, oh, I thought they were going to make me, like, look for flat ground. But then I couldn't put the roof on the house because it was slightly...
that's definitely, like, an alpha thing. Like, I'll find my pals also that their pathing is awful. Sometimes,
one of mine got stuck up on
shit.
Top of a tree and he got really hungry. And I'm like, he's going or die.
You better come down if you want food. Because
I can't
Sorry.
Get him. I can't climb up to the tree that he's on.
Go to the pal box.
Uh-huh.
Take him out of your base, put him back in, and then he just spawns in front of the pal box.
I should not have to do that.
That's
Nick,
alpha.
You probably should have just punched the tree.
Yeah, you should have.
It was the magic tree at my base that you're supposed to use to harvest wood that none of my pals could do. And it's slower than me going out and punching trees myself. I catch 20 pals, none of them can do logging.
What do you think about the pals themselves, Nick?
I saw one or two that I really liked. I actually think the one that they put on the box, and that is the first boss, Grizzbolt, I think he has a great design. He's like Electivire Totoro, and they have him holding a minigun on the box.
Yeah, they really
want
to put, like, it is really like pick three Pokemon and put their features together.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
The one that looks like ghost-type Xerneas, who's like a deer with, like, glowing purple horns. I think that that's a cool design.
I was just walking around calling them, like, things that Pokemon are. Like, I'm like, oh, it's a Piplup.
Yeah.
And then
the
chicken
penguin,
was just a chicken.
Penguin,
I think that they are certainly legally distinct. I like the witch hat owl.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's cool.
Hookrites.
Hookrites. Cute.
Hookrites.
Very cute. I think that in terms of the actual, like, the battling with them is kind of sucks.
It's just like throwing gristle on them. It's like, I'm just going to keep throwing these guys at this fight while I do most of the damage. At least was my experience.
Yeah, it certainly felt like I wasn't.
If you get the, like, if you know which ones, like, it's the same as Pokemon where you
weak
have
type
like,
weaknesses and
the
stuff
typing
like that.
Stuff, it goes a little bit faster.
I did get my base was raided, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah,
I got a pop up that someone was approaching my base, but I didn't see what that was.
I got
nothing happen.
Well, there's merchants that travel around.
Oh,
but
okay.
Sometimes their pathing is bad, then they'll just be in a corner.
Yeah, I didn't see a guy.
So 9 level 10 pals are like are at my base, and they're trying to defend it naturally against like a bunch of poison types that I've never seen before. And I'm like, I really want to try and catch these guys. The balls bounce off; they do nothing. Right, like even when they're at low health, they just like. They just get right the hell out of there. And then my pals, yeah, like my pals kill thing. Them.
Yeah.
No, it's not. I don't know if it's scripted. I think it was just that
just like
I
had
a super low catch chance that wouldn't go up. And when I did a bunch of damage to them.
Yeah, there's a way to get the catch chance to go up.
Yeah, you have to get the Lift Monk essence, right?
Yeah, I got statues.
I got like two of those, but I was still running into situations all the time. Maybe this is, again, what you guys are talking about, where I didn't level up enough.
You didn't do your chores. You have to eat your vegetables.
I would go to a new place, and I'd be like, great, I'm going to lower this guy's health so I can catch him. And I lowered his health down to nothing, down to like one. I go to throw the pal ball at him, and it says like 2%.
Oh yeah.
So
God.
What's the fucking point of me doing this then? Like, I just feel defeated. Like, why am I playing this game? What am I doing it for?
Some of the cash chances are a little bit bullshit.
I don't think that's some of the cash chances. It's a level difference, right? It's because this guy's level 30 and I'm level 10, which means that I need to punch trees for 4 more hours before I'm allowed to go have fun with
it. It all comes back to trees. It really does.
There's some that, like, I think the purple deer thing I was talking about, Ike deer or something like that, that one has a lower catch chance even if you are the same level as
I think,
and you get like it down to low health.
I think it was it's weird to show you the exact percentage chance because I think it's a bit of signaling. Like, Pokemon never tells you what the percentage chance for anything is.
I do think it's kind of cool the way they do catching, where it shows you, like, it's like, okay, if the catching's at 2%, when they go in the ball, the ball is going to shake once, and then the little thing will spin, and if it lands on the gray area, it's like they pop out. That's pretty cool. But something that was frustrating about this is that when I was going out and trying to catch Pokemon, even if something had a high catch chance, sometimes it would still just pop right out. And when that happened, I'm like, that's more trees and rocks I got to punch to make more balls.
It's an opportunity cost. Every ball you throw is a minute you have to spend hitting a tree.
Yeah, exactly.
If you find a merchant, you can just buy balls.
None of the merchants I found had those. They had palladium ore on its own, and they had some other stuff. They had like
I think it depends
cloth.
On the merchant.
Yeah, it might have just been luck there, but that I can't get too.
If
mad
you
about.
Find a town, there's always a merchant there. There's always two merchants.
I must have explored the wrong direction because I didn't get a town. I found a tower. I found like a desertish area. I found some cool looking pals that I could not catch. Like throw my ball at them, and it's like, you need to lower its health more. And then I lower its health down to nothing, and catch percent's still in the single digits.
Sorry.
The towns are a little bit boring anyway.
Come back after you punch more trees, kid.
Yeah. There's not much there. There's like the merchants and some houses, and that's about it.
And I know that there is going to be stuff that I want in this game eventually, but I don't have the patience to stick with it for it because
I
saw on the tech tree that there's like a tube you put a bunch of pals in and it fuses them together. And that's my favorite shit in the whole world.
SMT.
I love SMT Demon Fusion. I love Kid Icarus Uprising Demon Fusion. I don't think it works like that. The way it works seems to work this time is you catch a bunch of the low level ones and you fuse them together and it makes you one high level one.
That makes sense.
That's cool still, even if it's not SMT Demon Fusion.
Oh, it's like Idle Games.
Oh, it totally is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was reading through the later stuff on the tech tree, trying to figure out what the hell was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically what my experience was like in this game. It was, I kept hitting stop gaps, like, and perhaps if I had just stuck with it and stayed on like the base building course, by the end of the time I would have had within the game, I would have had enough resources, enough strong pals that I could have just gone forward the normal way in the story. But they presented this whole open world full of the, pals to catch to me. And I'm like, I would like to see them. I would like to catch them. I'd like to have different stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I kept getting thwarted at every opportunity.
I think you definitely approached it more as Pokemon-like than survival-like.
I mean,
all right.
Yeah.
Can I get into this?
Go ahead, please.
I think that this...
I appreciate your opinion.
I think that this is a bad idea from the get-go, maybe. Mm. I think that this is kind of a flawed mix of genres. I think Nick is getting at it, and I agree with what he's saying, because... and the appeal of Pokemon in its more open-world iterations that they've done lately has been, I want to go to the different places to catch the people that show up there. I want to go to the mountain because there's going to be cool ice type Pokemon for me to get there. This game, at least from what I played of it, there is that impulse to go to a different place to see a different guy, but you have to do a lot of the survival game stuff to be equipped to go there. And I think that that is it's a push-pull. It's a weird mix. Mm. I don't know.
It definitely sounds like it's a expectations thing, where when people see it, they're like, oh, it's like Pokemon, but survival.
Mm.
But I saw it and I was like, it's survival, but with Pokemon.
Yeah, I think it's, even discounting that, I think it's just, you are signed up for a survival game regardless. I think the Pokemon stuff seems like it's grafted onto the economy. It's grafted onto like your base building stuff, mm-hmm. but you could do what, like it could be a widget or like a robot or like a crafting table or something.
It could be anything else. Yeah. You could have like other little guys.
Right. It would be conveyor belt in Factorio or something mm-hmm. instead of a chicken.
Now we're talking. I think.
I don't know. Yeah. It's interesting. The idea of like hunting creatures in a game like this is like pretty elemental to a survival game. Like the chickens in this game are like, if you needed food, you would go kill a cow in Minecraft,
mm-hmm.
except
mm-hmm.
you can also recruit them to help you out.
Right.
It's an
dual
interesting
purpose in that way. And
it's an interesting
idea. You can
also
idea. Have them work on your stuff so they can make you more resources, but only some of them. And in certain cases.
Yeah. I see where they're getting at, but it does just feel like the Pokemon stuff is in service of the crafting stuff mm-hmm. in a way that felt weird. It felt like they were switching out the basically is just an upgrade you get, catching the right guy and using him in the way that they want you to use him.
Yeah, the blend of stuff I did feel the entire time is not smooth. It not only wears its inspirations on its sleeve, but it doesn't blend them very well yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't dislike my time with this, but I was, especially in the early game, I wanted to do the catching stuff, and I much like Nick was complaining about having to go do the resource stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree with that, even though I think I have a higher tolerance for that kind of thing than Nick does. But I did want to just go and try and catch the cool guys, but I think it was also like the fighting with the guys didn't feel very satisfying. Like you just kind of have them around and they help you. Like I did, at least in the early going, my guys were really low level.
Mm-hmm.
I would try and attack something with my like axe or my club, and the little chicken men would just kind of hit him every so often and then get KO'd.
Yeah. There's a couple that have some pretty cool attacks.
I got the Firefox. I got that Mozilla guy.
Yeah, you can get a harness for him and use him as a flamethrower.
It's kind of good. Cool.
You can also ride some of them if you make saddles, and then you can go much faster.
Yeah, that makes sense. They definitely could feel the getting tired of walking places feels. So I definitely would like want to get a dragon to fly around on. Or I'm sure that's all just further down the tech tree or whatever.
I don't know if you can fly, but
that seems like a home run for a game like this.
Both,
I can't believe they didn't.
Yeah, you have to both get it. Like I just don't know yet.
Yeah.
You have to both get it from the tech tree, but it unlocks on the tech tree after you catch the specific type of pal that the thing is for.
Yeah.
So if you catch the boar guy, the Rushor, mm-hmm. then it unlocks on the tech tree. You can now spend points to get the saddle for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I am, like, I enjoy this kind of survival game, but I think I don't enjoy it enough to really engage with this. It was I pulled open the like, technology menu, and I'm like, I better go, oh boy, I can't wait to spend a point on bed. It's so exciting to me. I love it.
Yeah, that one I'm kind of like, in Valheim, as soon as you get, like, you make an upgraded thing, now you can make more upgraded things. Like, you just get stuff as you progress.
Yeah,
right? Same in Minecraft. If you know the recipe, you can just make it.
I don't like the having the crafting stuff gated because it feels maybe too slow. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I would rather be like, oh, the progression is you can get material, then you unlock this.
Sure. If it costs me 50 wood to make this higher level thing, but I can make it if I really want to go get those resources.
Yeah.
I don't know. The RPG stuff felt a little weird. Like I realized like maybe an hour in that I had level ups for my character I hadn't used. Like
doesn't it? It's like flashing on the screen at you constantly.
Yeah, but I had to go to three menus to try and find it. There must be a shortcut for it.
Tab.
But I press tab to go to my guy, but then you have to press on your stats, and then you have to press plus on the stats that you want to raise,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It took me a little while. I just ignored the flashing thing. But I also was like, it was weird for me that there were even stats to level up in a game like this.
It does feel wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this. I was talking about this a little bit with Alex before recording had officially started.
Systems that they don't need.
But like, I don't have a lot of nice things to say about the Pokemon Company or Game Freak. But when I was playing this game, I had nothing but fond thoughts of Pokemon Legends Arceus because of the way it just kind of lets you loose into a world and lets you throw Pokeballs at Pokemon
mm-hmm.
without you having to send out your own, right? The idea that sneaking up on a Pokemon that is sleeping or has its back turned or being in the right situation with the right Pokeball, throwing it and just being able to catch it and move on is cool. It makes you feel like you're playing like a stealth game or a hunting game or something. And that is kind of an interesting experience for a creature collector. That this game is not going for that, but I was wishing it had something along those lines.
I definitely, we were talking about this a little bit, but I have not finished Pokemon Legends Arceus, and this game was like really making me want to go play that one because it was more of the thing I wanted out of this, I think.
I did not play that, so that's my difference between you guys.
Yeah, I mean, and that game also weirdly has like, you have to go send your Pokemon to break rocks to craft more Pokeballs.
Mm-hmm.
But it, and I don't like it in that game either, actually.
But you can also just buy them very easily.
Yeah. There's a much less of a focus on the resource stuff,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is good. But
also, the town has great music.
It's true.
That you hear a lot, Jubilife.
Yeah, I don't think I'm as gaga over that game specifically as a lot of folk are, but I also haven't played that much of it.
You're not, like, missing. Like, again, I would say in a vacuum, right, if you asked me, like, how's Pokemon Legends Arceus? Even when we did our Game of the Year on that year, I was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
very good at, like, one specific feeling, and then it kind of wears out its welcome over the 20 or so hours they ask you to spend with it.
Yeah.
But it was, at the time, an interesting idea with that franchise that worked all right.
Yeah, and I think it definitely was a touch point for me in trying to play this because I kept this game is about the parts of that game I only tolerated.
Mm.
This game is about the sending your guys to go get you stuff and less about the getting your guys stuff,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's understandable.
And there's no way, like, right from the beginning, like, to have a million pals, like, it sucks because you can only have four at your base, right?
Yeah.
You have mm-hmm. four at your base, six in your party, and the rest go in the box. And you just feel silly catching a lot of them, especially because the resources take so long to get.
Right. Well, you want to catch them to, like, get XP, which mm-hmm. just feels weird. I don't know.
To level up so that you can put one... Count them one point into attack or health.
We love that. Of course, you want to put them in health.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. This is a weird, interesting, flawed game. I think mm-hmm. It is more survival game than I typically gravitate towards, and it is less creature collecting than I would want out of a game that markets marketable creatures, mm-hmm. or you know, like a game with cute penguin on the cover.
Yeah.
Mm.
Understandable. Yeah, I think another thing I wish we had done more was play multiplayer, because I did find that when I started, I was more into it, I think, because I had people playing with me, and then I also had people to help me out.
Yeah,
so
that's
it wasn't
the big X
as much
factor,
of a slog.
I definitely think that if you had someone there with like a bajillion Pokeballs to just say, oh yeah, here.
Yeah. And then by the time
who's like done with the tech tree, it's like, yeah,
yeah,
go ahead.
So then I started like my own world for you guys to come into. And I already knew like what I was doing. So it also wasn't a slog there.
Yeah. The multiplayer is the X factor for this kind of
thing.
I am
tempted to go back. After you guys made fun of me for being bad at optimization, I'm tempted to go back and give this another honest shot.
Yeah, I don't know if how much is like there. I didn't get that far down the tech tree, but I don't know if this is a really rich, robust game for... Like, you could do better if you wanted a game about
building a base.
An optimized system. Yeah.
And I guess even like survival, I could do something like Don't Starve or...
Yeah.
Or even Ark. I don't want to play Ark, but I could play Ark,
right? I think it is. I think that might have unlocked something for me. I think this is like...
Then I have to worry about cooking my food. Here I can just eat raw berries and, you know, not die of poisoning.
Yeah. I think this game is too spread out in its goals to really hit on something big for me. Especially with this genre, there are so many good games. There are a lot of these kind of survival games that I always hear about
the Steam store,
and people love them. Like, I have not played like Ark or Rust, or like I just finally got to Subnautica, and that game fucking owns. Like, kind of despite the systems.
Yeah, I'm afraid to play that game just because I like if there's something in the dark, like we've,
yeah,
we've,
it is we've it is about a little spooky.
Amnesia. Yeah, that if game, I know there's something out there, and I don't want to go out there. Yeah,
that game tripped me up a little bit. I'm usually pretty good with that stuff.
But what I have looked at it is beautiful.
But yeah, I think if I'm going to play a game like this, I want it to be in service of something more singular, maybe like Factorio or something like that. Is like, oh, if I really want to like build a system and have everything run perfectly to give me infinite resources.
Right.
There are games that are about that. This is not fully about that in a way that's a little frustrating, I think.
And a game that does the optimization stuff so well is that what was something we talked about years ago, Death Stranding, has that's all about traversal. But it's being like, okay, I need to get a package from here to here. I'm going to build some zip lines for it. Yeah, let me get the stuff for the zip lines and like I'll actually construct it and then I'll be able to use it in future deliveries and stuff like that. That feels really good when you get that right. You know, when you have a way to make something run smoothly.
Yeah, and then you remember having to walk all of it by foot. And
yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
I was a fool for having done this.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a way to feel progression that is not just necessarily having a number go up. It's something that you look at and you go, look how far I've come. And maybe when I have the full-on Model T factory that my pals are
I can make them construct Ford vehicles for me, I think that would be the goal.
I think that this game does turn into that. I saw some...
You get guns, you get vehicles. It's insane.
Yeah, I think that did bring one more point to mind that I think I might want to sit on for a second. I think that this was another like bit of the discourse that I inadvertently got exposed to, but the like edginess of this is a little silly. Like I think that the gun stuff is pretty fucking stupid. I don't know I'm glad I didn't get to that far into the game.
Honestly,
but
I think that's on purpose.
No, yeah, I get it, but it's
which
like
I think is fun and silly.
Pokemon with guns is like absolutely a stupid idea.
Yeah, but they don't frame it. Calling
great
back taste, to our Shadow
the Hedgehog. That they taste together.
Yeah.
No, like we talked about on the Shadow the Hedgehog episode, that game was just trying to fucking be edgy to be edgy, and I think this one adds edgy to be silly.
Yeah, it's just not my flavor.
And they certainly do lean into it, but it's too many pieces don't come together like aesthetically, and for me the gameplay really wasn't. It just did not click for me at all.
I get that.
I think it is like there was a little bit of joy of taking a hatchet to a like enormous round chicken character, but it's a bizarre, it's weird.
Mm-hmm. You can catch the big chicken.
Yeah, I did catch the big chicken over there. I forget to mention that.
Oh, nice.
It's like it had
you can also catch people and then make them your slave.
Oh, of course. I had a little.
It's somewhere. Okay.
The big chicken had a little like shiny symbol. I thought it was supposed to be like a shiny Pokemon, but I'm not sure if it's a different
thing. I think
thing.
That might mean like alpha, right? Like,
okay.
It
had
game.
The
okay.
symbol for like shiny. So I was like, but it didn't look different from a regular chicken besides it being enormous.
In Monster Hunter, that's the, it's the crown. You get the,
yeah.
the platinum crown and the gold crown for like the largest possible version and the smallest possible version of a monster.
I did get the big chicken. I used him for a little while.
Yeah.
Some of these pals look really stupid when they're a bigger size.
It's really good. I love it.
And they got a big dopey chibi anime head on
giant alpaca that you
no,
can also
I have not.
Ride? He's huge. He's giant. He has a crown on his head and you can ride him. But he's actually very slow.
I could get behind that.
Yeah.
So I definitely, when you were talking about there being vehicles in this game, I'm thinking back on some of the landscapes I was walking through and going, okay, I can see sort of why they are designed that way now.
Yeah.
But I think...
Fascinating, weird...
It's okay, you're not into it.
Dumb game.
I like the weird, dumb game.
I think
I'm glad you tried it.
I think I accidentally opened up another avenue of something for me to be made fun of for
another. Yeah, you're going to be tree puncher for at least a month, buddy.
But thank you for bringing this forward, Seb.
Yeah, thank you guys and, for trying it.
Next week we've got another kind of weird, not relevant episode where it is too new to be reappraised.
This week we were 2 months late to the trend. Now we're going to be 2 years late.
Yeah.
Whatever.
A few weeks late.
Yeah, so it's too new to be reappraised, and it's too old to be relevant. We are going to be watching The Menu, which
I've heard it was actually quite bad.
Which we'll be doing some Ralph Fiennes impressions on. And I had a lot of fun with this movie back when it came out, so I'm looking forward to it. This comes to us from our listener, Andrew. So I hope you enjoy that when it comes out.
Hell yeah.
And I apologize for the lateness of this episode and the previous two of them. The movie show took a long time to get out. Shut up. And the movie show took a long time to get out, and I have been too busy to edit stuff. So these episodes are probably going to come out clustered pretty close together. So I apologize that they've taken so long.
It is out when you're listening to it right now.
That's right. Yeah. So the apology is fine now. All is forgiven. Thank you very much.
I forgive you.
Nobody cares about this except for me. All right. We'll see you next week, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.